This is Profit Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association. They're driven to deliver opportunities and results for Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers. Visit iasoybeans.com to learn more. I'm Dustin Huffman. Well, after a double-dip La Nina in 22 and 23, we were relieved to see El Nino return to start 24. It brought us back a mild winter and more moisture. And after a few years of heavy drought, farmers breathed a sigh of relief. However, it was soon announced that we were looking at a short-lived El Nino, and that there was a good chance La Nina was going to return in force. And that's exactly what she's done. We'll talk about that return with a couple of weather experts next.
As the world's markets change, so does the future of Iowa's soybean crop. The Iowa Soybean Association invites you to the Farm Forward event on Monday, February 3rd in Des Moines. Hear from experts about the evolving landscape of the soybean industry and how global and domestic shifts will impact your farm in the years ahead. Stay informed, make smart decisions, and position your operation for success. Register today at iasoybeans.com.
Now, La Nina does bring a little bit more milder summers and not quite as hot, but she also brings very cold winters and dry conditions, and that's not something farmers are looking forward to. Eric Snodgrass is a principal atmospheric scientist at Conduit Ag, and he talks about the fact that La Nina is firmly in place.
We're now in a different regime. It's a La Nina. At times, the waters in the Gulf of Alaska have been cold. The momentum has been all over the place in the atmosphere. So despite us seeing snow here right now, it's dry. So that's, I think, the big implication we have. We just need to understand if this carries through the remainder of winter, because I expect winter to stay active and cold. No doubt about that, I think, in the near term especially. But question is, what good is it going to be if we can't maintain the moisture into spring and summer of this year?
Snodgrass says that even though some places saw heavy snowfall earlier in the month, it will not be enough to counter the trend that's already underway.
There is water in this soil, in this snow, but not much. And I accidentally said soil in there because I'm thinking about how we still have, trapped below the frost layer, some drier soils down low. Even though we've got moisture right now in this snow, it is not able to be used. And so this just comes back to, again, this narrative that there is increased risk, not guaranteed, but increased risk of drought issues in 2025. If they're going to start to spread from somewhere, it's going to be out of the plains, either the northern plains or the southern plains into the Sun Belt and into Mexico. And this La Nina, which is likely at its peak, is a kind of a part of that problem with making the atmosphere reluctant to retrieve moisture to hit some of those really dry areas. We've got more cold and snow on its way. But remember, it's snow that happens in March that is more critical to our soil moisture than snow that happens in January.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the impacts of La Nina are being felt in full force across much of the country.
Our drought across the southwestern United States, including Southern California, where the wildfires are raging. It also includes episodic cold outbreaks that have been plaguing the United States since about mid to late December, and that has also contributed to the wintry weather we've been seeing lately across many parts of the country, especially the central and into the southeastern United States. All of those are pretty consistent with what you would expect during La Nina.
Eric Snodgrass adds that much would have to happen to reverse this La Nina trend.
The jet stream needs to become, I guess the right word or phrase is multidimensional, which means we've got one piece that's diving into Canada, ripping across the country with no strong, what we call subtropical component. That would be the component that goes from Hawaii into Southern California and Mexico and then races off to Maine. So one of the reasons why California has been able to have such horrific wildfires and stay so dry in its southern half is there's no second dimension to the jet stream, which would be coming out of the south. El Nino years, we have that. And that's why last winter was wet. That's why last winter was mild.
Find more at iowaagnet.com. I'm Dustin Huffman.